And let me just pray for us as they're going out. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, to worship you, to be together. God, for many of us, even getting here is a miracle. We're surprised we're sitting in church right now, but we know this is all according to your plan because you have good things for those who love you. God, we pray that no matter what we're coming from this week, that we will grow a step closer to you today. In your good name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, go ahead and pull out your message notes. They're in your bulletin, and we'll start the message series. We're concluding our three-part series called Fearless. You know, as we've been looking at fears these last 3 weeks, sometimes I think it would just be good. There's so many fears out there. It's just amazing how many fears there are. And I thought, wouldn't it be great just to, like, plan this? We should all get together this big conference just to deal with all our fears. But then I realized people would never show up. I mean, it's big. Travel. I mean, all these fears. You can't host a conference for fears because no one would ever show up. So we won't do that, but instead we'll talk about fears at church. We're going to talk about one of our greatest fears. This is perhaps the greatest American fear. It's the fear of failure. The fear of failure. It's our biggest fear because, especially in our country, we really make an idol out of success. Wouldn't you say that? We really idolize success. I remember as a kid studying U.S. history, I don't know if this might have changed, but in the back of all my U.S. history books, they'd have all these graphs showing the history of the U.S. It would always show success after success after success. You know, all these graphs always moved up, you know, population, wealth. They never showed graphs like pollution, because that would be like a bad graph. It was always like, you know, successful graphs. And we have this desire to be successful. Nobody wants to fail. No one wants to fail. In our country, success is seen as the worst sin. Some people will do anything to succeed. People will even break their own moral standards to succeed sometimes because success is so important and the fear of failure is huge. Now, depending on who you are, the fear of failure can look very different. For some of you, the fear of failure looks like procrastination. You're so afraid of failing, you'll never get started on what you want to do. I see people looking at each other. No, you don't want to point out who these people are. For some of you, the fear of failure, similar to procrastination, is indecisiveness. Just never making a decision because you're afraid of making the wrong one. For some of us, and this is even me, the way fear of failure shows up is it shows up as being a workaholic. You just want to succeed, that you can never stop because you're afraid of failing. So you just work and work and work, and you don't know how to rest. For some of you, the fear of failure looks like this. It's perfectionism. You just, you know, you write your thing, but you go over it over and over again to make sure everything is perfect. Because there's a huge fear of failure. You're never satisfied. It's never just right. Our society worships success, and it really, really cripples us. How many of you have been afraid of trying something new because you've been afraid of failing? Yeah, it's huge. It's really huge. Well, the Bible and our God gives us some really good biblical principles in overcoming the fear of failure. So that's what we're going to talk about today, some principles about overcoming the fear of failure. And this is in your notes. The first principle is this, is remember that failure is common. Remember that failure is common. Now, how many of you have ever made a mistake? Okay, look around. Look around. Keep your hands up. Look around. Failure is common. We all fail. If you are not raising your hand, you're lying and you're cocky. You have failed. Welcome to humanity. You know, the big fear we have is, what if I fail? And I think, you've got to be kidding. You have failed. There are areas in your life that you're failing right now, right? You will fail. It's part of the human condition. The closest that I have ever come to perfection is when I'm filling out a resume. Right? When I'm filling out an application, that's the only time when you're going to feel perfect is when you kind of shine, you try to make yourself shine. But the reality is, you know, welcome to the human race. Nobody is perfect. If you don't believe me, let's look at the Bible. If you have your Bible in your hands, turn to Matthew 1 for a second. If not, you can just listen along. Turn to Matthew 1. In Matthew 1, Matthew starts with the ancestors of Jesus. And he goes through lots of people. We're not going to go over all of them. But starting in verse 2, chapter 1, it says that one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ was Abraham. Okay? Abraham, one of the heroes of the faith. Abraham failed. Twice, he could have stood up for his wife, but he lied about her and got her in trouble. That's Abraham, one of Jesus' descendants. Let's go on. Later down in verse 5, it says, there's Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Anyone know what Rahab's profession was? She was a prostitute. Jesus' lineage. This is his background. Let's go further down. Verse 7, Solomon, the follower of the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. Rehoboam had set up for him. His dad built this great kingdom. Rehoboam, people came up to him and said, hey, your dad was a great king, but he taxed us too much. Can you lower the taxes? So Rehoboam went to his father's advisors and said, what do you think I should do? And they said, you know what, listen to the people. If you do this, you will gain favor. Then he went to his buddies and asked them, and they're like, nah, raise the taxes. And so Rehoboam did that. He raised the taxes, and the kingdom was destroyed from that point on. Failure. Jesus' lineage. This is in the Bible. Let's go to verse 10. Hezekiah, also someone in Jesus' lineage. This man was a great king, but he failed God. The Bible actually says he failed. He had a problem with pride. But then God, he asked for forgiveness, and God still used him. The point is that failure is common, and all of our Bible heroes have failure in their history. Some people look at the Bible, in fact, some religions, like Islam, looks at the Bible and says they believe in the Bible, but they say it's corrupted. You know why they say it's corrupted? Because all the heroes of the faith are so messed up. They failed so much. Obviously, that can't be true. But they're wrong, because the reality is failure is part of even the heroes of the Bible. What's surprising is that failure is so common, and no one is immune to failure. In fact, look at the verse in your outline. James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many ways. Circle the word all. Guess what that word means? All. Oh, yeah, that means you and me. We all stumble in many ways. So as you begin to let go of your image of needing to be perfect, the fear of failure will let go of its grip of you over time. And what you need to do is just realize that I have failed, I am failing, and I will fail. And that's part of being human. Everybody fails. Now I'm going to interrupt my sermon just for a second because I saw Tony and Elvina walk in. Will you guys stand up? All right, they're going to get married this weekend. Yeah. They're getting married on Saturday. We're just really happy for you guys. Just wanted to embarrass you. Okay, great. We'll see you later. Okay, principle number two is this. Realize failure is not fatal. It's not fatal. Perhaps one of our biggest fears is that when we fail, it's over. Our story is over. The last chapter of our life has been written. But if you learn anything about God from the Bible, is that He is a God of second chances. The chapter in your life where you failed, you may feel like it's all over, but in His mind, that's just one chapter and there's more to come. If you let Him, He'll give you a second chance. Our affairs do not need to be our final chapter. I love what Micah the prophet says. He says, don't gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Why? Because though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. It's not over. There's a second chance. You know, I love watching babies learn how to walk. Have you guys seen this before? You know, little babies. They'll just walk and they fall over, but it's no big deal. They'll get right back up and keep walking again, right? They fall over, no big deal. I just remember my little boys doing that, get up. But, you know, we have a lot to learn from them, because can you imagine if they fell down and they're like, that's it. I'm done. It's over. I am never going to try this again. And yet adults do that, don't they? They fall down and they say, that's it. I'm never going to try that again. That's the end of the story. But God says, no, get back up. It's not fatal. It's not the final chapter. And that's really good news. Jesus' disciples, we learned when we were going through the Mark, all His disciples abandoned Him at His hour of greatest need. And yet Jesus used all of them in His ministry, because failure is not fatal. It's not the final chapter. Amen? The other principle that the Bible talks about failure is that recognize that failure has its benefits. There are actually some really good things about failure. I want to talk about how God uses my failures. And these are all from the Bible. One of the ways that God uses my failures is He gives me wisdom as a result of my failures. He gives me wisdom. Now I'm going to say two words. I want you guys to tell me what the difference is between these two words. Okay, you guys ready? The first word is knowledge. The second word is wisdom. What's the difference between those two? Experience. Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you're going to say? Wisdom is knowing how to apply knowledge. So knowledge is what you have in your head. Wisdom comes from experience and actually applying it. Now the Bible talks about two things, knowledge and wisdom, and they're very different, because the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. That means knowledge makes you cocky. It gets you arrogant. Have you ever had an idea of how a project should be done, even though you've had no experience, and you know, you think you know how you do it, and when you see people do it differently, you're really critical of them? Yes, we do that. We all, knowledge is like, hey, I have the right idea. I have no practical experience, but I'm right. And the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. It makes you really arrogant. You know, I used to work in the college setting. If you want to see knowledge puffed up, go to a university. Okay? Now, I love academia. Just say I love studying all that. But the privilege of being in a university is you get to study everything, but not do a thing about it. Right? And you get to form all kinds of theories of how the world should be run. So you walk into university and you've got some really arrogant people because they know it all. When I was in seminary, I had a professor tell me that he didn't like students who went into seminary who had no practical experience because they were really cocky. He'd rather have a student that was in the church for 5 or 10 years than go into seminary because they had a little more wisdom and were a little more humble. The way we learn is through failure. How does God give you wisdom? Through experience. And not just any experience, but experience that ends in failure is the best teacher. You become wise much more through your failures than you do through your successes. That God grants you wisdom. You will gain more wisdom through your failures than through your successes. To bring up a little painful history of our church, we had our grand opening back in September, and if you guys remember, I gave a sermon that was a bit inappropriate. Do you guys remember that one? All right. For those of you who weren't here, it's not on the website. You won't get it. But you know what? That sermon might have worked really well where I came from in the college environment, but I learned through making a really bad mistake that it wasn't appropriate here. Now, that was really, really painful for me. I hate to fail, but did I get wisdom out of it? Yeah, I learned a lot, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for a church that let me fail and still stuck by my side. That was amazing. But that's how we learn, by making mistakes and failing. Now, here's the thing. Knowledge's partner is arrogance. But wisdom's partner is humility. Because it comes through experience and through failure. The Bible says it this way in James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from what? Wisdom. Yeah. Amen. The other way God uses my failure, it's really related, is number two, is to build my character. To build my character. The Bible says this in Romans 5, 3 and 4. Not only so, but we rejoice also in our sufferings. Now, when we fail, we suffer, right? But the Bible says we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. The way you develop hope, the way God develops character in you, is going to be through your sufferings that come through failures. That's how he develops who you are. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He told people he didn't know anything about Jesus 3 times. But Peter became an amazing preacher that came because he was a man of character as a result of his failures. That's how he grew his character. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word success much. So you don't see the word successful in the Bible. Instead, the Bible uses a different word, and that word is called blessed. Blessed is the word for success. If you read Matthew 5, Jesus talks the Beatitudes of what it means to be blessed. And they're all character things. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who weep. They're all character because God develops your character through failure. The third thing that God does to how he uses your failure and how it could be a benefit is failure helps you experience God's love and grace. Experience God's love and grace. When I was in junior high, I went on a trip to Mexico with my best friend, Curtis. We're still good friends to this day. And we met someone down there named Monica. This is sad, I remember her name. And Curtis, you'll see why later. Curtis had a crush on Monica. And he would tell me that, hey, this Monica woman, what do you think about her? I wasn't interested at all because I was, waiting for Becky down the road. I had no interest whatsoever, but Curtis kept talking about Monica. Okay, so one day, Monica comes up to me. She says, John, can you go on a walk with me? I'm like, sure. And I'm thinking she's going to want to talk about Curtis. Because, okay, John, I have to tell you something. I'm like, yeah. She's like, I have feelings for you. Now, a friend would feel really bad, but you know what was going on for me? I'm like, yeah! I won! That's what was going on for me. I didn't say that, but inside, I was like, victory! It's really sad. Thank goodness that Curtis and I are good friends. But why would I respond that way? Anyone want to guess why? Pride? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, call me all the names you want. Yeah, anything else? Yeah. Because I was a person that loved to be successful. And I got a lot of worth from being successful. And for someone to like me more, my buddy, even though I was a bad friend, that spoke something to me. And I thought, I won. Because I grew up in an environment where you were loved by how successful you were. And perhaps God's greatest lesson for me was that His grace meets me when I fail, not when I succeed. That's a hard lesson for me. But I think that's God's greatest lesson for me, that it's not through my success that He gives me grace, but through my failures. To know that I could be a beloved ordinary. To know that I could be loved and still be ordinary. See, we have this thing that we believe that people and God will love us the better we do. But the greatest lesson is that God loves you and shows you His grace and love in the midst of where you've really failed. The Bible says it this way in Romans. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, the failures. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, in other words, while we were still messing up, while we were failures, Christ died for us. It's in the midst of our failures where we learn about God's grace and love. Now, if you have a fear of failure, I want you to consider something. Could it be it's because you believe that God and people will only love you in proportion to how successful you are? Could that be your fear? And God is saying, I love you when you're a failure. That's when you're going to learn about my love more than any other time. It's through your failure that you have an opportunity to experience God's love in a new way, not attached to how well you perform. So the point here is that to recognize that failure has its benefits. So much so, and we'll get into this later, that you might want to consider intentionally putting yourself in a place where you're going to fail so you can learn from God and have reap the benefits. The fourth principle is this that the Bible talks about, is to relax in God's grace. To relax in God's grace. The Bible says that there is only one failure you really need to fear. There's only one that you really need to look out for. There's only one that's going to really destroy you. And it's the failure of understanding His grace. Hebrews 12 says it this way, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. That's what you want to be watching out for, not to miss out on God's grace. Now, what I've found is the only way to overcome the fear of failure is to fail and to experience that God still loves me. That's the only way, to fail repeatedly and realize that God still loves you. Now, many of you grew up in homes where it was very performance-based. It was deeply ingrained in you that love and success came together. And you say to yourself, if I fail, it means I'm worth nothing. Success is everything. Getting the A's, doing well in sports, doing the right thing. Success means I'm valuable. Failure means I'm worthless. But please, 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 don't transfer an image you might have gotten from a parent onto God. That's not your God. That's not how He loves you. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. That's who we worship, a God who loves us in the midst of our failures. You can relax in God's grace. You don't have to fear future failure because you know that God will love you and never stop loving you no matter what you do, so you can face the future. I think we need to give a new definition to failure. This is in your outline. We need to give a new definition. It's this, that failure is refusing to try. Failure is refusing to try. If you set a goal and you don't make it, that's not failure. Failure is if you never try to accomplish the goal in the first place. You can call an experiment. Hey, I tried. Didn't work. I'll try again. Scientists never call their experiments failure because they're learning along the way. So let's call failure the failure to try. When you believe God is calling you to do something, you just need to feel the fear and do it anyway. That's what God wants you to do. Now, here's the guarantee. if and when you follow God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, He will direct you to step out of a comfort zone in some area of your life. He will ask you to do something that will feel incredibly risky. Perhaps He already has done that. And that's just part of being a Christian. Faith and risk go together. You can't separate them. They go together. When I was in elementary school, first grade, my family moved. I was in a brand new elementary school, and we played this game that was really silly. It was like two teams, a group here of kids, a group over there of kids. One group would get a ball, a little punch ball, and just hit it across the other side. The other side would catch it. They would hit it across the other side, and the whole goal is who can catch it and hit it. I don't know what was going on. I think it was a new school for me, but I was incredibly afraid of hitting the ball. I would catch the ball, but I would find my friend Gary and say, "Hey, you hit it." And all first grade, I never hit the ball. I was just scared of failing. It sounds silly now, but I wish I had someone come alongside me right then and say, "John, you can do it. What's the worst that can happen? Go for it." I wish I had that voice. And I want to be that voice to you guys. You can do it. Stop living in fear. Hit the ball. Do what God is calling you to do. If He is speaking for you to do something, and you've been putting it on the side because of fear of failure, I want to say, try it. The failure is that you're not trying. What's the worst that can happen? God will still love you. You do not have to fear that His love is proportional. In fact, I dare you to fail. I really dare you to fail. If you are not failing, that means you've stopped dreaming, you've stopped learning, and ultimately you're going to stop growing spiritually. You've got to push into failure. Where is God calling you to risk right now? What dream has He given you that you've buried? What burden has He given you that you're just stuffing? I can say, dig it up, pull it out, dust it off. It's time to start praying about your next risk. So I want to encourage you to relax in His grace. You're going to fail, okay? But who cares? You're going to be a trophy of God's grace. And you know what? You're going to have some successes too along the way. So go for it. I love what God tells Joshua when he's a new leader in the Bible. Joshua 1 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So I want to say, do not let the fear of failure keep you from being what God wants you to be. This last week, we set up our hammock in our backyard, and it's a great hammock. And my son really wanted to get in, my four-year-old son. But he tried climbing, and you know, when a little kid tries to climb the hammock, it kind of goes, is that vertical? And so he kind of went vertical and fell backwards, and now he starts crying. He's like, "Dad, you put me in." I'm like, "No, I want you to try." And so he's all shivering and trying to climb up. He climbs, and it goes vertical, but he holds on. He gets one more leg on, and he gets on, and he's in. And you should have seen his smile. He was just so, and he's like, "Dad, are you proud of me?" I'm like, "I was proud of you when you fell. Kid, don't worry about it." He gets off, and now he just gets on. He's so happy. How many of us miss out on the joy because we have that failure? We fall off the hammock, and we never want to go back in. Get back in. Trust God. He's proud of you. He won't abandon you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. So your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I just want to say the answer to your fears is all about Jesus Christ. Will you accept His grace? He's not only going to forgive your past failures, but He will give you the power to start over again and wipe the same slate clean. So start over. And you can just talk to God right now. It doesn't matter what you say. What matters is what's in your heart. So you can pray something like this between you and God. "Dear God, I want to accept your grace in my life. I don't understand it all, but I thank you for sending Jesus Christ for me. Help me to understand more. And as much as I know how, I want to give you my life." And all God's people said, "Amen, amen. Great."